Morning. As you can probably tell from the color of my face, I just came back from 6 weeks down the ocean, hon. 6 days. Would it were 6 weeks, Freudian slip. Well, one evening, decided to go out to dinner. Went to this place that billed itself as a steakhouse and raw bar. Well, I was more interested in the raw bar. In fact, what I had was a dozen oysters, a pound of shrimp, and a bowl of crab soup, and that was dinner. Two appetizers and a soup, no entree. Waiter thought it was a little strange, but at least he's a decent tipper, so what the devil. But they're not there to be a raw bar. That's not where the money is. So when I sat down, this fellow came over and said, "Good evening. My name is Jerry. I'll be your waiter this evening. We're a steakhouse. Our special this evening is a 44-ounce ribeye. Think you can handle it? Do you think you can handle it? The challenge. Right? Are you macho enough for this piece of beef?" Well, I probably could have if I'd had no appetizer, no soup, no dessert, no vegetables, just attacked the meat. Probably wouldn't have felt very good at the end, though. And I didn't want to, so it didn't. But the challenge was there. Can you handle it? Well, in a much more serious way, we get this same challenge from Jesus today. Can you handle it? Can you handle being a disciple of mine? It's free, but it's not cheap. You don't earn God's love. You don't earn God's grace. You don't earn the call to discipleship. It's something given freely by God, out of God's own initiative, out of God's own love. But while it's free, it's not cheap. The great Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in a book of the last century, one of the classics, called it The Cost of Discipleship. And that's what Jesus is talking about this morning, the cost of discipleship. You've got to put it higher than your relationship with your parents, your spouse, your kids, your money, even your own life. And if you're not prepared to do that, folks, walk away now. I don't really need a large crowd following me up to Jerusalem. What I need is a faithful crowd, maybe small, but willing to pay the price. A couple of good examples, you know. The fellow building the tower, the king marching out to battle. Look at the cost. Look at your resources, size it up. If you can't handle it, walk away now. No shame in that. Just walk away. There are easier ways to live. Not as satisfying, perhaps, but easier. If you can't handle it, walk away now. But if you put that marker out, be prepared to honor it when it's called. And you don't know when or where it will be called or what the price will be, but it'll be there. The reading from Wisdom suggests that. Even things in our own familiar realm, we can't figure out too smoothly or too accurately or too often. When we're dealing with the things of God, who do we think we are, knowing what God is going to call us on, or when or where or for how much? But when it comes, be ready. Your marker is called. Stand up. And if you don't think you're man enough or woman enough to do that, don't put the marker out there. Turn around and walk away now. It happened to Philemon. Wasn't that fun? You know, you can go home and tell friends tomorrow, "I heard a whole book of Scripture at Mass Sunday." Whole book. Philemon. It's a one-page letter. But it really is all he needed. Even with space at the beginning and the end for all the proper niceties, with a few strokes of the brush, Paul paints him into a corner and calls his marker. I wouldn't want to keep him here without your permission. I wouldn't want to tell him that it's okay for him to break the law and be a runaway slave. Be much better if he had a decree of manumission in his back pocket. And if he owes you anything, charge it to me. Not to mention, of course, that you owe me your very life, but, you know, who knows? I'll pay. One Philemon painted into a corner. When he became a disciple, he didn't think it was going to cost him that much. Slaves were expensive. Slaves were valuable. There he was. We don't know what happened. There are legends, of course, that will tell you, but we don't really know. But if Onesimus did not come back to Paul with Philemon's letter of manumission in his back pocket and again serve Paul in his imprisonment in Philemon's place, Philemon might as well just sort of get up and walk quietly out the back door of the assembly of disciples. His marker was called. Going to stand up to it or not. Of course, legend has it that Philemon did issue the decree of manumission for Onesimus, but then got even. He kept the original manuscript of the letter, and after Paul died, sold it on eBay for a small fortune. But it's not just back in the scriptural period. It happens even today. I saw Paul's letter to Philemon played out on the telephone about 40 years ago. It was a thing of beauty. I was 1969, I think, and a young man from the parish where I was then stationed, Blessed Sacrament in North Baltimore, was killed in Vietnam. Now, I'm not even sure we had the body. The casket was sealed. Not just closed, but sealed, government seal over it. Might have had no more than 3 sandbags and a dog tag. But the family, although they couldn't have a viewing, did want to have a visitation so the relatives and friends could come and pay their respects. So they went to the funeral home that was a block and a half from their house, obvious choice, and were turned down because they were black. Well, they reported that to us. Tom Baumgartner, the other associate, and I, who had strong roots in the movement, were properly outraged. We were all set to organize the march, set up the picket line, and call the press conference. You know? Old Rog Wooden, who was the pastor, whom we thought to be well into his dotage, and in some ways, I guess, was, could still rise to the occasion to be pretty sharp once in a while, though. He said, he overheard us fuming. I don't think that'll be necessary. Bring me the telephone. He called the funeral home. Yes, could I speak to Mr. Jenkins, please? This is Monsignor Wooden of Blessed Sacrament. No. Old Mr. Jenkins. Henry, good to hear your voice. Haven't seen you in a long time. How have you been? That's good. Henry, there's been a terrible misunderstanding. My curates have come to me and told me thus and so and so. Now, I don't know who said what, who misunderstood what, but I know there's something seriously amiss there. I've known you for 40 years. I know you to be a fine Christian gentleman, and I am simply not prepared to believe that you could possibly be more concerned about the color of a man's skin than the color of the flag on his casket. End of case. Henry's marker was called. He didn't think it was going to cost him that much when he signed up to be a disciple. But if he wanted to be a fine Christian gentleman, his marker was called. And he stood up. Yes, Monsignor, of course, you're right. You tell them to call me. I'll handle it personally. Cost him some business. Cost him some friends in the profession. Cost him a whole bunch of things. But he stood up, because his marker was called very artfully with one stroke of the brush, painting him into the corner, this old Monsignor who had a reputation for not being too sharp anymore, you know, did the same thing to him that Paul had done to Philemon. Don't think it's too funny. It is. I mean, it's just a great story to imagine. But don't think of it just as funny. Because it's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to me. It's going to happen to all of us. Sooner or later, at a place or a time you don't understand, with consequences you're not able to predict, if you claim to be a disciple, your marker is going to get called. Put up or shut up. It happens to us as individuals, as parishes, as dioceses, as faith communities. It happens. If you're not prepared for that to happen, if you're not prepared to take up your cross and follow him up to Jerusalem, put it down now. Put the marker back in your pocket. Turn around. Walk away quietly. No shame in not trying. But there's considerable shame in making a commitment and then not living up to it when the marker is called. So think about it. Do you have enough resources to build the tower? Do you have enough troops to win the battle? Are you prepared to make the sacrifice when your marker is called? If not, walk away quietly. But if you do, it can be not always an easy, but a very satisfying way to live. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.